verse number 1, the Bible said, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation," or that word is behavior or lifestyle, "in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He's quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are you saved, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Thank you for standing tonight. I'm glad God butted in on us. Here, Paul is writing to the Church of Ephesus, and he's painted a very grim picture of where we were. And tonight, I want to look at how God butted in. Now, we're going to find out we had a picture of the past, and then we'll see we have the praise of the present. We have a promise of the future. The Bible said in verse number 1, "We were dead, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now, I want to ask you something. You can't be more dead or less dead. Dead is dead. We were walking dead men. And in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 12, Romans 5 and verse number 12, I want you to notice something there tonight that shows us just wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, tonight, we have a picture of our past. We were all dead. And because we were dead, we needed divine life. A dead man can do nothing to improve his condition. Dead is dead. Now, we could not get to God. A dead man cannot talk. He cannot hear. He cannot respond. A lot of men can do a lot of things. They can have heart surgery. They can replace kidneys and lungs and eyes. But you can't fix dead. And I'm glad that we have one that is the resurrection and the life. And so every unsaved person is dead toward God. Dead spiritually. In 1 Corinthians 2, in verse number 14, 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 14, every unsaved man is dead spiritually. The Bible says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Now, a lot of people will make fun of you, and they don't understand me and you. And the reason they can't understand you and I is they are dead spiritually. And so every unsaved person is dead in their sin. Now, just as Lazarus was in the grave, in John 11 and 43, every sinner must be called out of his grave. I'm glad one day Jesus called me out. Bible said in John 11, verse 43, when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Now, when me and you were called out of the graveyard, this flesh didn't get saved. Still wrapped in grave clothes. And he's telling somebody else to loose him and let him go. Now, can I tell you tonight that every one of us are still bound with grave clothes? I'm glad that the Spirit of God spoke to us and brought us out of the graveyard. He's brought us to life, but we're still robed with grave clothes called flesh. Watch your flesh, because it's not saved. I wished it was. If our flesh is saved, we'd never have no problems. But oh, we all are robed in these grave clothes. And so what a miracle. We were dead men walking. When you see people unsaved, they're no more than dead men walking. And so I like what he said in verse number 1, but you hath he quickened. Now he had to make you alive by the Spirit of God. That's why you didn't have any desire for spiritual things. You had no desire to come to church. You just could not respond to God. You knew nothing about it. But I'm glad Jesus said you must be born again, and he took the Spirit of God and he moved upon us and he hath quickened us. And you hath he quickened. Not them, but you. You ought to be glad for the day that the Spirit of God came and brought you life. Now, you cannot live a life for God until you receive life from God. A lot of people's trying to live a Christian life, but the Christian don't live in them. That's why people can't make it to church, why they can't read their Bible, why they absolutely cannot stand preaching or singing. It's because simply they've never been brought to life by the Spirit of God. So you cannot live a life. I hear people say, well, just live it. Well, you can't live it by yourself. A young man told me today, he said, Richard, I don't want to get saved because I can't live it. Well, you know what? He's right. But Christ in you can let you live it tonight. Now, in Romans 8, in verse number 5, we see that he hath quickened us by the Spirit of God. He's made us alive. Romans 8 and verse number 5, the Bible says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body's dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make you alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So we see a picture of the past. We were dead. Number 2, we were deceived. So many people are deceived about what really matters in this world. Can I tell you, the one that dies with the most toys does not win. Well, we chase the world like a whirlwind. And before the long, but the world is chasing us. And so we were very deceived. The Bible said in verse 2 of Ephesians 2, When in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But we were deceived. It is the spirit of the world that has the lost person consumed. Now, we were deceived. It was evident in our behavior. Isn't it amazing, the older you get, the more you see what things really matter? Wouldn't it be a blessing if you could started raising children at 50? How many mistakes did I make and you make because we were so deceived about things that really didn't matter? And so he says that in time past, ye walked according to the course. This tells me there's supposed to have been a change take place. Times past. He said, you ought to not be walking like this no more if you got saved. I'm going to tell you, folks, it's going to amaze you who gets to heaven and who ain't in heaven. It's going to amaze you. Because see, we've so compromised on what this book says because we're scared we're going to hurt somebody's feelings. But I'm going to tell you, if the Holy Ghost lives in you, you're going to want to do things that the Holy Ghost does. And there's got to be a change that's took place in our life. It's not about religion. It's not about being baptized. It's not about going to church. Does Christ live in you? Now, we were deceived. It was very evident in our behavior. The course of this world, it held us in its iron grip. Boy, it had me. And the general spirit of this world is this: worldly, fleshly, and devilish. In 1 John 2 and verse number 15, 1 John 2 and verse number 15, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, the general spirit of this world is worldly, it's fleshly and devilish. And now, we walked according to the spirit of the age. And our noblest thought, our most general impulses, our loftiest ambitions, and our most religious aspirations were void of all spiritual content. We were dead. And the course of this world is often religious and a moral course. But it is independence of Christ. Our world has become anti-Christ. In 1 John 2 and 22, a lot of times we forget about what the Lord said. 1 John 2 and 22 said, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Muslims are Antichrist. They're taking our country. Jehovah Witness, they're Antichrist. Many religions, they have moral values. They have a sense of religion, but they deny Christ. And therefore, they are ran and ruled by this world system. That's why it's so important that a preacher throw the gauntlet down and say, thus saith the Lord. The church is always supposed to have been different than the world. We ought to not dress like the world. Somebody say amen right there. We got a lot of young ladies. You mom and daddies ought to be teaching them to dress right. And the mamas ought to be dressing right. Somebody say amen right there. And daddies, you ought to dress right. And we ought to be raising children right. We have a world's view. Let me tell you, the world is not the measure. This Bible is the measure. And so we've got to stand against the things of the world. Somebody said this week, somebody told me, said, well, we're not going to go to church at Liberty because y'all are too strict. I can tell you, we're probably not strict enough. And so, and this is the bad thing a lot of times, and I'm not wanting to get on a pity party, but when your preacher stands up against issues, you ought to stand with him. And I don't care if it's at your house or if it's at grandma's house, you ought to stand with the preacher if he's in this book. Don't make the preacher to be out the bad guy. I didn't write it, I just read it loud. So, we were deceived. This world is deceived. This world's got religion, but this world don't have the Lord Jesus. This world is running on a moral course. You know, everybody's for morals, mainly. People want good morals, and they want to have a little bit of religion, but you draw a line in the sand about Christ. But be not deceived. God is not mocked. Now, we were dead. We were deceived. And boy, we were so disobedient. The Bible says this in verse number 2. For in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power there. Well, let me tell you this tonight. We are no more like the devil than when we disobey God. When we disobey God, we're just like the devil. We were disobedient. Can I tell you, by one man's disobedience got us all in this mess. Romans 5 and verse number 19. We received his nature. Romans 5 and verse number 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now, we were disobedient. This makes us heirs to a disobedient spirit. Did you know you don't have to teach your children to be disobedient? Comes naturally. You know, we still fight that old nature that we've got in us of being disobedient. A lot of times we want to see how far off we can get, and that's where we get in a lot of trouble. And so we had that disobedient nature for by one man's disobedience. When Noah sinned in the garden and became disobedient to the Word of God, he fell into depravity. And therefore, you run our bloodline back. Adam is our forefather, and we've got that bloodline. We've got that old Adamic nature in us. Many times it wants to go against the laws of this book. And God said, in the picture of the past, you were dead, you were deceived, and you were disobedient. How many times were you disobedient to this book? How many times was you disobedient to your parents? My goodness, not only were we disobedient, the Bible said in verse number 3, we were defiled. He said that we were by nature the children of wrath even as others. We were defiled. Before we accepted Christ, we were controlled by natural desires. Now, lust, look what this says. We were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, said in time past in the lust of our flesh and fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Now, simply lust means a strong desire. We realize what that is with our flesh. But he said we also have the lust of our flesh and of our mind. What is the lust of the mind? Pride. Vanity, self-will, covetousness, and independence of God. They are vile as lust of the flesh, and we were defiled. And I want to tell you something. Now in Romans chapter number 6, we have no license to sin. In Romans chapter number 6, though cliche, you know, now I'm saved, I can just do whatever I want to do. No, once you're saved, you live by yielding to the Spirit of God. And so in Romans 6 and verse number 11, you ought to underline this. He says, likewise reckon or calculate ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not. Now, I'm going to tell you, we didn't really have a near the barrier that we have once we're saved for this verse. But now the Spirit of God lives in us. And He's saying, you know what? It's your option. Let not sin, therefore, reign or be king. When I was doing things I was ashamed of, things that were king in my life, I didn't want to be doing them, but they held me captive. But He says, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your instruments as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you or be lord over you. Now, if you have an addiction tonight and you're saved and the Spirit of God lives in you, He says there's a power in you that can overcome your addictions. For sin shall not have dominion or be lord over ye. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to, obey his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Now we have something that the world does not have. That's the Spirit of God that can lead us and give us power in our lives to overcome the flesh. And so we were defiled. We were defiled many times by our strong desires. Now, not only were we defiled, we were doomed. This is where a lot of us forget. We was all headed to hell. Hell's still real. Now on Sundays, if a preacher preaches about hell, they say, well, my goodness, why didn't he go to school and learn something? I mean, my goodness, how graphic. I mean, how historic are you, preacher? Won't you get the change of the time? No, this is what we need to realize. We were all doomed in verse number 3. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as a... You think you've had a bad day? You ain't had a bad day. You rip the covers off of hell tonight, and it'd make you shout of what you where you ain't at tonight. We were doomed. And a lot of times we forget. We make things too complicated. We ought to be rejoicing about a Savior. We was a sinner. And now we're the saints by the wonderful grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should never get used to being saved. Boy, you remember when you first got saved and how on fire you was and how thrilled you were? Well, what happened to all that? What happened to that? God ain't went no place. We better never forget what our Savior's done for us on a cross. And He's worthy of our praise. We were doomed. Look in verse number 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. In other words, He said, you were Gentiles, and you were called uncircumcision by the Jews. You were outcast. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now, we ought to write that on our stage sometime. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes are far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Oh, we were doomed, but now we've been brought nigh, what? By the blood of Christ. So we see a picture of our past. But then secondly, look at the praise of the present. I love what verse 4 does. God butts right in on us when He ought to put us in hell. But God. Can you imagine why in the world would God love something like us? It amazes me that God loved. And a lot of times you say, well, God don't love me. He loved you before you ever knowed Him. A lot of times when we make a mistake and we sin and the devil gets down our neck and he accuses us and we say, well, you know, God don't love you no more. Let me tell you, friend, God loved you before you ever knowed anything about Him. He loved you before He saved you. And it don't matter what you do, God's going to love you. Now, you can break fellowship. He don't love our sin. But certainly there is a praise of the present. But God, oh, I'm glad He butted in. Look what He says. I'm glad He just didn't say who is rich. That don't tell me nothing. But He goes a little bit further and He tells us what He's got. He's got mercy. You may think you don't need mercy tonight, honey. Without mercy, you'd be in hell someplace. You better thank God He's a God of mercy. If you don't think He ain't a God of mercy, you turn on the TV and look what's going on in our country. New York just approved same-sex marriage. It's coming to Georgia. God's rich in mercy. We hear a lot of times, this big trial, this big court now that's consuming all the TV, this girl that no doubt they're trying her about killing her baby, you say, well, how wicked. They ought to do something to her. Well, what should they have done to us? Be careful who you're pointing fingers at. What should God have done to you? Well, I don't know why God don't pay them back. He's going to. But I give you another thought. I don't know why God ain't paying them back. I wonder why He ain't paid you back. That's the biggest question. Why He ain't paid you back? I can tell you why. Because God is a God of mercy. And we better realize that God loves to be praised because He is a God. He's rich in mercy. I had several opportunities to be put in hell and God kept me out of there. I've not always been saved. I've woke up in some bad places and didn't know how I got there. And I'm not proud of that tonight, but I sure am thankful for amazing grace and mercy. But God, who's rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. If God gave His Son to you much as He loved Him, I wonder how much He loves us tonight. Boy, He must really think a lot of me. He must really think a lot of you. What a God of mercy. Mercy's God withholding what we do deserve. Grace has given you what you don't deserve. Boy, God is so merciful. I hope God continues to be merciful to our country. All of us got these grand young'uns coming up. We're going to leave out of here. I sure hope God stays full of mercy. Isn't it amazing? Just like what Brother Troy said, ain't that amazing? God has loved us like this. We were doing things that we knowed better than what we were doing, walking according to this world, and God, by His grace, reached right into where you was. Guarantee you, most of you was minding your own business, going about your lifestyle and doing your thing, and God put something in your life to get your attention. And you ought to thank God for that tonight. We walk in here and Brother David sang Amazing Grace. We look out the windows. I'm like Brother Dennis. I don't want y'all to leave. I want to preach to a full church. But it'd do you good just go see what some folks are sitting in on Sunday morning. Praise of the Prophet God. And then, look what he says. He said, even when we were dead in sins, he's quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And to raise us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, I've been in some heavenly places in this church with the saints in Christ Jesus. Isn't it wonderful when God meets with us? And you know, the only time God don't meet with us is when y'all don't want Him to meet with you. He don't come as an intruder. God's got to feel accepted and wanted. For by grace are you saved. Picture of the past, praise of the present. But there's a promise of the future. Look what this word says right here. It ought to clear up something. Verse number 8. For by grace are you saved. That's a done deal. I'm not wondering if I'm going to make it. Anybody that's ever been saved goes to heaven. You can't lose your salvation. We're sealed. We got a stamp on us, and it's declared we get into yonder at glory. I'm stamped into glory, friend. I've got a seal put on me. For by grace are ye saved. That's a powerful word. I'm not holding on to the end. He's holding on to me to the end. I done let go several times. He won't let go of me, though. Promise of the future. It's a done deal. For by grace, not of works. If you could work your way into heaven, you could work your way out of heaven. Not of works. He said, you can work your finger to the bone. You can give all your money away. You can be baptized. You can recite every verse in the Bible. He said, that ain't going to do it. Because he said, I don't want any man to boast about you getting to heaven. See, his son's going to get all the glory. And all the honor. We can't sit there and gloat about nothing. We were dead in trespass sin. He walked by one day and he said, hey, you want life? Come forth. Come forth. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. And don't say this, for by grace are ye being saving. For by grace are ye saved. The Church of Christ asked me one time, I said, what's that saved word y'all deal with? What's in your Bible? For by grace are you saved. Promise of the future. I'm glad I'm going to heaven tonight. I mean, you know, a lot of times you think, well, is this all it is? That's the way some of y'all look at me sometimes. Well, is this all it is? I just don't think y'all have been where I've been. I'm glad I got saved. I've never, ever regretted God saved me. Now, I've worried about some stuff, but I don't worry about dying and going to hell no more, and I'm glad of that tonight. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say, that word S-A-V-E-D, it's a done deal. If I slip up, what happens, preacher? You're saved by grace. Repent and serve God. You can break, no doubt you can break fellowship. Boy, I'm glad I'm still in the family. Saved. Won't that be something we get to heaven and realize what we could have enjoyed here? Let me ask you this tonight. Do you think God saved you? We're His workmanship. You think God just saved you just to sit on a pew? A lot of sinners here Sunday morning. I believe God's wanting to save some of them. We ought to be praying for them, trying to reach them, be kind to them. We better remember, and matter of fact, some of them may not look like you. We better remember where we was. And some of them may have done some things you don't approve of, but I don't know if anybody wants a chalkboard of everything you've just thought of this week wrote up here in front of everybody tonight. I mean, if you do, I'll give you a stick of chalk and you write on the back of my coat. Come on. You either without sin cast the first stone. We want to see you. You know, when Jesus caught the woman in adultery and reached down, he wrote something in the sand, and he said these words. He said, "Ye that are without sin, cast the first stone." Aren't you glad he didn't say, "Us that's without sin, cast the first stone"? Because Jesus would have had to throw the rock. Jesus never sinned. Let me tell you, we're sinners saved by the grace of God tonight. And we ought to be thankful for what he's done. And you know what? A lot of times the devil gets you so defeated looking at what's wrong. Well, look at what's right. I know economy's down, but it's better than what everybody's crowing about. There's way too many dead possums on the side of the road that ain't picked up. You go to Outback, you can't get in there. You got to stand in line to get there. If you want to know a pitiful sight, you go on down yonder at Baton Rouge and you look at that family down there tonight. Matter of fact, you won't have to go to Baton Rouge. Just go on down to Carrollton Hospital down there and look at them, the little young'uns tonight. Look at your wife. Ain't no reason us having a pity party about ourselves and being self-centered. We got a lot to thank God for. And you know something? I think the lifeblood of a church is a preacher reminding his people just how good we do have it. How often we forget where we've come from. God help us to remember we're saved and He's the Savior. And if He hadn't have done something for us, we'd be headed to hell. And we ought not be ashamed of it. He said, "If you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father." And I won't tell the world Jesus saves and I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And you can still do right and have a good time and love Jesus. And when our cars hit this lot, we can be appreciative and thank God that we can come together, Brother Tim, and worship Him and praise Him and bless Him. And if Brother David calls on you to sing, you ought to smile and sing your best. If I call on you to preach, you ought to preach your best. If God nudges your heart to stand up, I wouldn't care what the devil's telling me. I'd bounce up and I'd say, "Lord, thank you for what you've done for me." Well, I appreciate you being here tonight. I'm glad we're saved. Stand with us.